Good morning, and welcome to our second and hopefully last virtual ABK Sunday. You'll remember about a year ago this time, we had our other virtual ABK Sunday, and that was the day that I announced here at Bethel that we would be not running for our 60th anniversary summer. And that was a difficult decision. It was one that was made with a lot of prayer and a lot of sadness. But it was one we felt confident in, knowing God was in control. You saw there in that video clip a few people talking about what ABK has meant, does mean to them. And we missed that last summer. We missed seeing people come in through the gates. We missed the 98 kids as they were, as they'd enjoy our program and gather in chapel to sing songs and listen to messages, and we missed that aspect of camp. You'll remember too, though, last summer that in my announcement, I made a need known, and that need was that just to stay afloat last year, just to cover expenses. Overhead expenses for camp, we needed, on top of what was already being given to camp, we needed an additional $20,000 just to cover expenses. And then on top of that, we chose last summer to be kind of a project summer because we had time, and that's something we don't often have at camp in the busyness of the schedule. So we asked for an additional $40,000 on top of that to complete some projects. Now, granted, if we were to do that this summer, that might cover just a couple of 2x4s with the price of lumber and how it's going. But last year, we were able to get all sorts of projects done. And I'm sure that I've gone through the list here since then. So I won't go through the entire list. Just know that because of the generosity of God's people, because of the generosity of Bethel Bible Churches and many churches across the North Shore, we were able to get projects done that have been on our list for years. Projects done on main buildings like the dining hall, the rec center, some of our camper cabins that in years previous we just simply haven't had the time, the resources, or the volunteers to get those things done. And that was all made by God's people responding to a need in a really big way. I don't know if I've said this, I'm sure I have, but by the end of last year's year end, we didn't see $20,000 given, we didn't see $60,000 given, we saw just over $100,000 given in above and beyond donations towards the ministry of camp. In fact, one story that was just kind of like a wow, God's got this moment for me, was the Sunday I announced it. I announced the need. I think I went to my dad's camp for the day, and coming back in the evening, Sunday evening, I just went on my email quick to see that just in that first day that we made that announcement, we had about $10,000 given just in that one day of donations online. So I thank those who were involved in giving. I thank those who were involved in praying and volunteering. And now we're looking at this next summer, summer 2021. And this summer we have planned five family camps, four in July and one in later August. And those family camps are designed exactly how they sound. They're designed for families to come, enjoy one of our cabins, and enjoy some programming. And we are hopeful that we'll be able to run this. We are hopeful that restrictions will be such that we'll be able to see people at camp this summer. And we're hopeful that we see some Bethel families out to those weeks. We have some room in our first 2 weeks and maybe a spot or two in our week in August. But we're looking forward to seeing families come out and just deepen their relationship with God as a family, and also have a really good, fun time. Our waterfront will be open. We'll have lots of different activities for the kids and for families to enjoy. I've been talking with our summer staff in regards to some planning and activities we're going to do to keep everybody safe, but also to make sure that the whole experience of camp isn't lost for another summer. But with that in mind, today I'm asking something of Bethel and of those listening again. And that is that you would pray, that you would join me in prayer, join our board in prayer as we pray to God that we will be able to run this summer. The big kind of determining factor, we are officially in the Sudbury District Health Unit, so the big determining factor is in the summer, if we're back in the color-coded system, what color will the Sudbury District Health Unit be in? So I am praying that we see things work out, that we'll be able to run this summer, and I'm asking those of you who are listening to pray along with me for that. Pray for Kathleen and I as we make decisions. Pray for our summer staff as they prepare for a summer that might happen, that hopefully will happen. Pray for the board. I don't know if you know this, but Bethel has 4 board members on the board at Camp ABK. Jen Sarlow is our board president. Nathan Lambert is our board secretary. Debbie Joe is a board member, and Andrew Nicholson is a board member as well. So pray as we get together as a board that we make decisions with wisdom, and that God gives us that wisdom. We're meeting this Thursday, actually, to discuss the summer, and one of the decisions we'll be making is what we're going to do with the remaining 3 or 4 weeks we have in August. Our hope originally was that we would see things by this point in the year and be able to make a call as to whether or not we'd be able to host overnight children's summer camps. I don't know that will be the case. So we'll be needing some wisdom come that discussion and come that decision. And can I tell you, I have got calls really nonstop since January, messages, things like emails from people asking if camp will be running kids' camps this summer. There are a lot of young people and old people alike who are really missing the ministry that happens at Camp Oshpokun. And it breaks my heart a little bit every time when I have to tell somebody, you know, we're not sure yet, and I hear the disappointment in their voice. I've got calls all the way from Calgary. People who have kind of connections in the north saying, we don't think any camps will be open here. If we send our kid over, do you think you'll be able to be operating camps? Like there is a real desire and a real need for these kind of ministries to be operating this summer. So just join me in prayer as we look ahead to this summer and just ask God that we would make good decisions and that ultimately camp would be able to run. This morning, we are going to look at Psalm chapter 145. You saw in that video different responses to the question, what ABK means to me. And there were definitely some themes throughout those videos, and pretty much anyone I would ask, friendships, relationships, being in God's creation, and obviously the ministry that goes on there is kind of a common thread with people, and I would say that's true of myself as well. Camp, to me, is the place that God has used more than any other person, place, or thing to challenge me and to grow me into who I am today. I have many people to thank for that. I am appreciative that my family was involved in camp and that I got introduced to it at a young age. And I'm so appreciative of so many who went before me who were faithful in that ministry and saw it forward. And as I read Psalm 145, and we'll read it here together in a second, this was one of those psalms, this is one of those passages of scripture that I was reading, and I think when this happened for me, it was last May, so it was right after or shortly thereafter we made the announcement that camp wouldn't be running for the summer, and I was reading in my reading plan, and this psalm came up, and as I read it, it just screamed at me that this is what the camp ministry is all about. So as I was thinking about something to speak about on ABK Sunday, this was a passage that just fell right on my heart. Obviously, it has other implications, a lot of other implications for our lives. It doesn't just apply to camp ministry. So I wanted to share it with you this morning and read it together. So Psalm chapter 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all who look to you and the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Let's just pray. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that it was as we come together this morning, virtually, God, that we can be together as a church. And God, I pray that as we look into your word this morning, you would give us open hearts and open ears to hear what you have to say to us. God, speak through me. May it not be my words, but your words spoken this morning. God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So as we look at Psalm 145, as I was studying it, I broke it down into four sections. The first, covered in verses 1 to 3, is our recognition of God's greatness. The second, in verses 3 to 7, is our response. What is our response to this greatness? The third, in verses 8 to 13, is the reason for our response laid out. And the fourth, in verses 13 to 21, is our hope. So looking first at our recognition, verses 1, 2, 3. This should be the prayer of each of us as individuals and as a church. Verses 1 to 3, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One of the reasons I love camp and I love being there is the fact that I get to be so close to God's creation. We have seen a huge uptick in our culture, in our society, of people enjoying the outdoors, especially over this pandemic. And it's something that I've always enjoyed. I've enjoyed being out in creation, and I just love being outside and seeing all that God has made around me. And as I grow up, I realize I have a greater and greater appreciation for this creation. And creation all around us, whether it's at camp, whether it's on one of the shores of Great Lake Superior that we have around Sault Ste. Marie, whether it's for a walk in the bush, a walk along the river, wherever it might be, it all screams God's greatness, doesn't it? In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." You see God's power, you see his divine nature in all he has made around us. His power and his worthiness of our exaltation is laid out in front of us in what he has created. Two specific things for me at camp that I just love is one, on a dark night when the moon is not out and the stars are just in full display, standing on the backfield with my telescope, just looking up at the vastness of our universe. And you look up and you see more stars than you can count, and you think God placed each of those stars. He spoke that universe into existence. His greatness we can't fathom. He is great. Another thing that I love about camp, and I'm sure I've said this before, is when a good storm rolls through and the thunder and lightning is going off, especially at night when it's throwing off all the sensors on the lights. It's just a powerful display to take in. And again, it's one of those times where you just have to sit back in awe of God's greatness. And I encourage each one watching, get outside, get in God's creation, and just be in awe of who he is and what is displayed in front of us in what he has created. Look at the book in front of us, God's Word. His greatness is written all over the pages of his words. Do you think the Egyptians could fathom his greatness as they watched the Exodus happen? Could the Israelites understand his greatness as they marched around the city of Jericho and saw the walls cave in? Could the sailors in Jonah understand or grasp God's greatness when the sea was threatening to overtake their ship and they threw Jonah out and they saw the waters calm? Could Nebuchadnezzar understand God's greatness when he throws these three men who defied him into the furnace and they come out and they don't even smell of smoke? We have in these pages before us story after story after story displaying, talking about God's greatness, and we simply cannot fathom it. We've been studying Luke. We've been studying the life of Jesus, and look at the greatness of God displayed in Jesus. The miracles performed, the sick healed, the dead raised, the hungry fed, the sea calmed. We see this greatness written out for us, but we just simply can't fathom it. We don't understand it. That's what the psalmist is saying here. His greatness no one can fathom. We don't have time this morning, but if you have time today, look at Job chapter 38 to 41. This is kind of God's response to Job, and he just lays out line after line after line that just displays so clearly who he is and how great and how mighty and how powerful he really is. And our response to this, as the psalmist says, I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name. And as I was preparing this message, I asked myself, is this me? And we can ask ourselves as a church, we can ask ourselves as individuals, is this us? Do we exalt God in our lives? Is he our priority? Do we lift him above all else? And as I was preparing, I realized that my answer to this question, do I exalt God? Do I make God the priority in my life? That answer was not, is not consistently yes. At least not in my actions. My heart and my head, they say yes, I know that I ought to exalt God above all else in my life. But when the rubber meets the road, I allow other worldly desires, other passions, other desires for what I want for my life take away from my desire, my pursuit of God. And I don't say that up here this morning lightly, but I say it after reflection and after prayer and after just really examining myself, that this is something that is a struggle. And I think if we're honest with ourselves as individuals, this is a struggle in probably most lives. There are so many distractions around us that can take away from how we ought to treat and the time that we spend with our Creator, who is deserving of being exalted over all else in our lives. And if this is you this morning watching, then join me in prayer and join me in just asking God that He would give us the determination, the desire, and the humility to exalt Him above all else in our lives. Because He is deserving of our praise. He is deserving to be exalted above all else. Second is our response. Verses 3 to 7. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. This was the part in this passage as I was reading that just screamed camp to me. This is what we desire to do at camp with the campers and with the staff who come through. We desire to share God's goodness specifically with how He has blessed the ministry of camp, and God's goodness in general in that's seen in Jesus and what He did for us on the cross. That is what we desire to do at camp. We desire to share that goodness with the next generation. I think about some of the individuals I've met at camp. And the wisdom and the stories of God's goodness and the life lessons that they have passed on to me, and I am a better person for it. So there's two challenges for me here as I read these passages or this passage. The first is, am I doing this for my children? Because for me, they are the most direct next generation I have. They're my children. Are they learning from me how good God is, His greatness? Am I sharing how He has worked in my life to them? Not just simply telling them, but proclaiming it to them. That adds a little more emphasis to it, doesn't it? You're not just telling them, you're proclaiming, you're showing them in how you live and in how you interact with them, how good God has been in your life and in your family's life. And if I'm not doing this, I'm missing the most important role that I have as a parent. And I think about my two little kids, Jack and Lucy, and I feel like I need to apologize to them. And apologize to them for the fact that I don't think I've been as intentional as I should be in this part of my parenting role. I think, and my wife and I were talking about this the other day, that the ministries that Bethel offers are amazing for children. The Awana, the Sunday school, the youth group, those things are amazing for our youth, for our kids. But we haven't enjoyed those things, at least not to the same degree, this last year that we have in general. And I've realized that I got caught up in the trap of letting programs in the church do the job that I ought to be doing as a parent. As parents, our number one responsibility, and this isn't just parents, this is aunts, uncles, grandparents, whatever it might be, our number one responsibility is to pass on to the next generation the goodness, the greatness of God, of what He has done in our lives. So moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles, if you're watching this, this is what we need to be to this next generation. And if you are doing that, God bless you and keep going. If you're not, start. And that's the challenge I have for myself today as I was preparing this message. Ryan, you need to start being more intentional in proclaiming, in commending the works of God to the next generation, your two children. The second challenge is like it. Are we doing this well as a church? I've worked with a lot of awesome people at camp, as I mentioned, and I've learned so much from so many of them. I used to have a tradition at camp with Dave Lawrence. He passed away now just over a year ago, and I had this tradition, or we had this tradition, where in June, everyone would go to bed, and we'd stay up, and we'd fry up some bacon and eggs, or if it was a really good day, we'd buy some steak, get some mushrooms, some onions, some peppers going, and around midnight, we'd partake of this little midnight feast, completely ignoring the fact that both of us would be up till 3 in the morning with heartburn. We would sit down, we would eat this meal together, this snack. I guess you can't call a steak a snack, but we would eat this food together, and we would just talk. And I can tell you that the lessons I learned in those discussions, what that meant to me, that an older, wiser person would take the time with me and just talk about life with me, that made a world of difference in my life. I can tell you at camp, one of the things I love and one of the things I enjoyed as a young person is working right alongside of people who had more experience than me, more wisdom than me, and just more kind of life lessons they've gone through, and just learning from them, working side by side. And that's something that I think is so effective in reaching the next generation for Christ. So are we doing this well as a church? And I don't mean just Bethel. I mean in general, as a church in North America, are we training up the next generation? Are we encouraging those younger than us in their faith? And from my experience at camp, working with young people, and from many statistics that you can find online, the church as a whole in North America might not be doing as good a job as this as they should be. We see generation to generation to generation, families are losing Christians. They're losing their young people to the world. And this is something that I think we have to challenge ourselves with as a church, yes, but as individuals, yes. Are we taking younger people alongside of us in our work, in our serving, in our ministries, and are we training them up in faith? Are we proclaiming to them the good news of God and His greatness and His wonderful works? Third, the reason. The reason why we do this, the reason why we respond to God's greatness, His goodness. Why is our response to share His goodness? Because, found in verse 8, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. The reason we strive to share the gospel is because there is a gospel. There is good news. Imagine, and I know that some people, there are many people in the world who believe this, but imagine if God was just simply this all-powerful creator who didn't really care much for His creation, that He was just kind of this separate idea. We wouldn't have much to share as a church. We wouldn't have much to share as Christians. But it's because God loves us, because He is slow to anger, because He is compassionate, because He is good to His creation and He cares for His creation, that we have something to share. The fact that these qualities are shown perfectly in the life of Jesus, this is why we strive to be vocal about our faith. It is because He, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. It is because with His outstretched arms, with Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, He has separated our sin as far from the east, our sin as far as the east is from the west. It is because His greatness was displayed most clearly for us on the cross that we have something to share, that we desire to share this goodness with other people. Because look around the world. This message that God is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and rich in love and good to all, that is a message that needs to be shared with people. Always, but especially now. That is a message that should be ringing out from the church, even in the midst of a pandemic. That God is compassionate. He is good to all. That's a message that at camp, that is what we strive to do. And I love the fact that at a ministry like camp, we all come together. There's a ton of different individuals, all with their own individual flaws. And we come together and we put our heads together and say, we are going to strive to present the gospel this week. Other stuff takes a back seat. We're going to love these kids and we're going to show them the love of Jesus and present the gospel to them. People need to hear this. This is why we proclaim the good works of God, because we know his love and his compassion and his grace. Finally, the last portion of this passage, verses 13 to 21. I think this speaks to us of where our hope is found. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises, and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. We had our first ever Zoom summer staff training meeting the other week with the summer staff who were coming to camp, hopefully, this summer. And I told them in that meeting that the camp will be dramatically different this summer. How we are allowed to operate has changed. Who we take in as guests has changed. Even how we do our meal times has changed. But our mission remains the same. Camp Oshpakoon exists to present the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the lives of children and adults through the camping experience. That hasn't changed. In the midst of all that is going on in the world today, in the midst of all the changes, all the uncertainty, day to day, we as Christians can hold on to the truth, hold on to the hope that God is faithful, his promises remain the same that are written out in his word, because he remains the same. He does not change. And this is true whether we're in the midst of a pandemic or not. God does not change. Whether you're sick or healthy, God does not change. Whether you're rich or poor, God does not change. Whether you have financial security or not, God does not change. Whether you're in between jobs or you have your dream job, God does not change. Whether you feel close to God or whether you feel distant from God, he does not change. Our God does not change, and that is what we put our hope in. I remember speaking to Jen last year on the phone when they announced that they were going to be extending the March break for 2 weeks. And I remember saying, there's no way, Jen, that this is going to affect school trips in June. There's no way. And then we canceled those. Said, well, there's no way it's going to affect our summer. And we canceled that. Well, there's no way it's going to affect our school trips. And we ended up having to cancel those. Well, there's no way it's going to affect summer 2021. And here we are, still looking at whether or not we are able to run. There is not a lot of certainty in the things of this world. Government regulations change day to day. And that's not a critique of the government. That is just simply saying that things are constantly changing. But we serve a God who doesn't change. We serve a God whose promises laid out in this word are the same today as they were when they were written. The team's going to come back and they're going to end with a song. And it's one that I think speaks to this truth really well. The chorus says this: when did he break his promise? When did his kindness fail? Never has, never will. My God is still the same. When did he lose his power? When did his mercy change? never has, never will. My God is still the same. They're going to lead us in this song, and then right after that, we're going to have communion. So if you need to get that together, please do so.